Officials in New York City today unveiled the final design plans for the World Trade Center site. The model addresses many concerns, creating an appropriate memorial to the victims of September 11th, restoring New York's skyline, and setting the stage for a vibrant commercial and street life. The plan seems to achieve that rarest of New York commodities, consensus. But as Andrea Bernstein reports for member station WNYC, it's unclear that this plan will ever become reality.
In a city where four people can have five opinions, the governor, the mayor, the man who holds the lease for the World Trade Center, the agency that owns the land, community residents, and family members of those who died came together. They watched John Whitehead, chairman of the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, announce the choice for the site would be Daniel Libeskind, a Polish-born architect who grew up in New York.
The Libeskind plan succeeds both when it rises into the sky and when it descends into the ground. In doing so, it captures the soaring optimism of our city and honors the eternal spirit of our fallen heroes.
The plan starts literally where the old World Trade Center ended. Libeskind's plan preserves its foundation, the so-called slurry walls.
And I was very moved from the very beginning in seeing those slurry walls because they represented everything I believed in. Despite the tragedy, despite the attack, despite the what happened on the site, they stood. And these were the walls that speak of democracy.
Arrayed around the walls is a swirl of angular office buildings that spiral up to a 1,776-foot-tall spire, the world's tallest building, containing offices at its lower levels, parks, and public spaces above. The design is such that each September 11th, between 8:46 a.m. when the first plane hit the towers and 10:28 when the second tower crumbled, no shadows will be cast on the memorial, which would be bathed in a wedge of light. The emphasis on memorial in Libeskind's plan won him the grudging support of family members of those who died. Monica Eichen's husband worked on the 84th floor of Tower 2.
I don't want to go to that site in the future and feel like Disneyland or Disney World, where I'm rounding the blocks or waiting in lines to honor my husband's final resting place. I want to be able to go there and honor his spirit and be able to feel peace.
Some office workers strolling in a lower Manhattan park, like Carolina and David, who didn't want to give their last names, said the plan gave them the shivers.
What's that?
That's an observation deck.
Yeah. Yuck.
Where you look down into basically the pit.
Right, exactly. Okay, no, I think that's a little morbid, actually.
Still, though the plan unites interests no one thought would come together, questions remain. The leaseholder has said there hasn't been enough attention on his commercial needs. Residents don't like plans for an underground mall. Family members don't want a bus garage underneath the memorial. Roland Betts, the official who's been in charge of the design selection process, says he has no idea who will make sure this plan gets built.
And if the leadership is there to build what's put there, it'll happen. If it's not there, Daniel Libeskind will die 1,000 deaths.
Privately, Betts is counting on something else, sources say. He hopes images of today's design beamed around the world will create an indelible impression and a momentum for remaining true to this design. For NPR News, I'm Andrea Bernstein in New York.